From St. Louis Public Radio, this is St. Louis on the Air. I'm Alex Hoyer. Wes Hoffman is the lead singer of Wes Hoffman and Friends, a pop punk band from St. Louis. Wes Hoffman also runs 314 Punk. That's an Instagram account that highlights St. Louis's punk, metal, and ska bands, and anything under the punk rock umbrella. Wes Hoffman, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We're listening to you right now.
Yes.
That's your song, Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll listen to a little bit more of that later in the segment. But I understand that, like myself, you're an elder millennial. And before we get to where you are as a musician today, let's go back to when you were younger. What was your introduction to punk music like?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I really didn't know too much about punk rock music. I mean, I'm 41 years old, so I kind of grew up in that era a little bit before the internet was prominent like
sure.
how it is now. So I found out the first band that I really gravitated towards, of course I had heard of Green Day and The Offspring and the bands that were played kind of in the mainstream, but the first band that I really latched onto is a band called MXPX, and I found them on it was actually a Christian music sampler at the time, and they stood out to me so much because they were faster. The music, the guitar sounded a little bit more dirtier, you know, and the guy singing just kind of sounded, he sounded a little angry, a little angrier than what I was used to. And I remember listening to the song that was on that compilation like over and over and over. And then I bought their records, and that was really the gateway band for me that got me into punk rock.
What do you mean by the guitar sounded dirtier?
Had a little bit more distortion on it, and just like the guitar riff was a little bit more maybe minor key than what I'm used to.
Yeah. Now I remember Green Day too. We grew up around the same time, but also bands like Sum 41, Rancid, Simple Plan, like all those bands that were popular at the time, and to some extent are still popular too.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Tons of those bands I think now are people that are kind of our age. A lot of those bands are coming back and doing tours for anniversaries of their albums and those types of things. So, yeah, it's definitely, they've kind of run their course and comes in waves a little bit. But I feel like those bands from the early 2000s are definitely coming back around.
Yeah. Let's listen to the first track off your 2024 album. The album is called How It Should Be. And that first track is Where Summer Never Ends. That's Where Summer Never Ends by Wes Hoffman and Friends from their 2024 album, How It Should Be. Wes, you're drumming there in your chair.
Yeah.
I mean, you're feeling the energy in here.
I do, yeah, definitely.
Our producer, Maya Norfleet, said that when she heard that song, quote, it blew my wig back, end quote. Now it definitely has that energy that I associate with punk. When you run into people who don't know what you do or they find out they're a musician, how do you describe what it is that you do musically?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, it really depends on, for me, who, you know, what that person, what their knowledge is of punk. For some people, it might be Green Day or Fall Out Boy is the band that they know because those are more mainstream bands. So I'll kind of try to figure out where they are in their musical journey and what their tastes are and kind of share it from there. But yeah, definitely, I think before we were talking, it's definitely high energy, definitely a little aggressive, but melodic as well. I'm a big melody guy. I like stuff that's catchy, that if you were to, when I started out writing these songs for that album, but as well as our EP, I wanted the songs to be catchy enough that if you've never heard our music before and you were watching us play for the first time, that by the end of the song, you would at least know the chorus or that you would be wanting to sing along. So yeah, catchy, melodic, high energy, all of those.
Yeah, let's take a listen to another one off the album that got our attention. This is Our Best Days. That's Our Best Days by Wes Hoffman and Friends. Wes, I noted in that song that there's the line, youth is not wasted on the young. What was it that you were trying to get across in that song?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned before, we're both elder millennials.
Sure.
And I really, when I started playing this music again and we started touring and writing and recording, I definitely feel like just because I'm older doesn't mean that I've lost my sense of youth. And I don't feel like, I feel like, you know, a lot of times people say youth is wasted on the young. I agree to that to an extent, but I don't think I would be doing the things that I'm doing now at that if I was 22. You know what I'm saying? I don't have the knowledge that I have to do the things that I do and the life experience that I have. So I was kind of trying to get across that point of like, just age is just a number. It's not... you're only as young as you feel kind of type thing. And, you know, we run into people when we're out touring and a lot of times people will say, how old are you? And I'm like, I like to kind of play a little bit and I'll say, how old do you think I am? They're like, oh, I don't know, like early 30s, maybe late 20s. And I'm 41. And I, you know, I think that maybe in most of the guys in my band we're all late 30s, early 40s, and we're out doing things that we were doing in our early 20s and early to mid 20s, or that we didn't get to do at that age. So now we're out doing it. And yeah, I still feel, you know, I'm old. I might be old in age to some people, but I'm definitely young at heart. So that's kind of what I was getting across, is just because you're old doesn't mean you can't do the things that you love to do when you were young.
Yeah. So in terms of writing, how do those lyrics come to you? Is it more of an idea and then you sit with it for a while? Are you somebody who writes on scratch pieces of paper or writes in notes on your phone? How does that work for you?
Yeah. Well, I always have the full song completely done most of the time. The instruments, the drums, the guitars, the bass, I usually have that all done. And what comes last for me is the melody. It is actually the lyrics. The melody comes first, then the lyrics. So I'll have maybe the chorus part, and I'll kind of be thinking, you know, how I want that to sound as far as the musical notes in my head. And then I'll have a theme. I've taken some songwriting courses in the past, and I'll have a theme of, okay, what do I want this to be about? So like, you know, youth's not wasted on the young. Our best days are still ahead. And I'll start writing down things that follow that theme, phrases, colors that maybe come to my mind for that song for whatever reason, like green and yellow come into my mind. So okay. I'll kind of start writing down those things. And that song in specific was also a kind of, I was thinking about getting older and the things that I was doing when I was younger. So I try to get a little specific too. I talk about driving on I-70 in that song. Things like that, different memories of, I used to live in Illinois, so I'd have an hour drive home every time I went to a show, and I would just, you know, think and reminisce a little bit. So those were things that kind of come to my mind. And then I form them into phrases that would fit the melody that I'm thinking of in my mind.
Now, when you're writing new music, if there's a part that is a particular hang-up for you, like what's the hard part about it? Maybe the hardest part about writing the music? Is there a particular part where you usually get hung up and then like just have to push past it?
Sometimes. I feel like the hardest part is just me being satisfied with whether or not I think it's a good song.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of times I'll have a riff or a chorus or maybe a melody and I'll think, oh man, this part's really good, but the rest of the song really needs work. And those are usually maybe I'll take that part and it works in a different song further down several months later when I'm writing. So those are usually the bigger hangups for me. I usually have no shortage of, you know, I'm writing and playing guitar pretty much every day. So I usually don't have any shortage of a riff or a chord progression or anything like that. I've never dealt with a lot of writer's block or anything.
You're lucky.
Right. Knock on wood.
Right. So the album art of How It Should Be includes a vintage American car on a road that looks to be, I don't know, maybe in California?
Yeah.
How does California play into your career being a Midwest band and all?
Sure. So California. So the artwork that's actually some old photos from I think it's in Cuba actually for where that car is on the album artwork. So the idea of the album artwork is that's kind of the idea of where summer never ends. So California, it's beautiful weather all year round most of the time. And for me, I've always had dreams of going out to California, playing shows there, you know, being from the Midwest, it's always kind of been, and I have been there a bunch of times, but being from the Midwest, it's always kind of this dream to go out there and play music. And that was where you were going to make it big, you know what I mean? And in our song, Where Summer Never Ends, it says, let's go back to California where summer never ends and where times were maybe a little bit better. So, I know I'm romanticizing it a little bit,
right?
But we're looking forward to going out to California early next year. We're going to be going on tour out there, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Speaking of touring, how often do you tour? I mean, how many shows have you done this year or plan to do this year?
This year we've done around 40 shows, and only 5 of those will be in St. Louis. So about 35 shows on the road, and we try to go out. You know, we take breaks in the summer. We don't really do too many tours, but I want to say we've probably been out on the road maybe 6 to 8 times this year. And sometimes it's really short trips just to Carbondale, Illinois, or like this weekend we're going to Cape Girardeau. And sometimes we go farther. We just did a week in Texas. And, you know, next week we're flying out to Colorado and then hitting up Nebraska, Kansas City, and Wichita, and then working our way home. So we do like to – I love to travel. I've always been a traveler, so I like seeing new places and new things. And it's also just a great way to get in front of people and have them see you play firsthand. And I think we're one of those bands where we are very high energy. We jump around a lot. We get into music. We're very passionate. So I think that portrays well in the recordings, but I think when you see us play live, that's where you really get to kind of captivate people and get their attention.
I'm talking with Wes Hoffman of Wes Hoffman and Friends. Let's listen to another of the songs off How It Should Be. This is A Minute to Breathe. That's A Minute to Breathe from Wes Hoffman and Friends. I feel like punk music, pop punk, that a lot of it is geared towards young people and the kinds of things that young people deal with, kind of just like fighting back against the system. Maybe this is just my perspective of when I grew up, but how do you, and I hear like the song, the melody, it hits, whether I'd be thinking of it growing up back in the late 90s, 2000s. But then when I listen to your lyrics, I hear things that might not resonate as much with young people that are more reflective of where you are in your life and of your bandmates. And so I'm just kind of wondering how you deal with that kind of perception of punk as like for young people, I'm using air quotes, and where you are in your own life now.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think, you know, and I've had some people that have found our music and friends of ours or people who have just found it and said, man, I really love this. It reminds me of stuff that I listened to when I was younger, but it aged with me. So, and I really liked that. When somebody told me that, I was like, oh man, that's a great way to describe our music.
Because... That's the way I felt. And I think the way you said it was better than the way I just said it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I still love punk rock. I love pop punk. I love melody. But, you know, at the time that I started really ramping up this music and writing these songs, I was going through a major life transition. I was going through a divorce. I got a new job. I moved out of my house that I'd lived in for 10 years. But I was also going through some really good things. Like I just met my partner who I've now been with for almost 5 years. You know, I was finding kind of new energy and new life. And so this album in specifically is kind of half of the songs are really happy and hopeful about the future and very positive. I'm a positive person in general. Always try to look at the bright side. But then there's also some like, you know, some hard stuff in there. There's some difficult stuff. And I was going through some trying times. And I think those are the things that people relate to the most are, you know, we're all, I know it might sound cliche, but it's we're all fighting some kind of battle that someone doesn't know about. And I think people resonate with that quite a bit. But also, I want to give people hope in the music as well. So, yeah, I haven't really had too much. You know, we definitely, punk definitely resonates with the younger crowd. But I've also found a lot of people that are kind of in between, you know, the teens in their early 20s all the way up into my age and older that these songs really resonate with. So, you know, maybe the sound of the music, people resonate with that. And then the lyrical content is kind of a little bit different than what it would be if I was 22, if I was 20 years younger. But I hope that it resonates with people of all ages.
Yeah, I think it does. Now, along with fronting your own band, you're also behind the Instagram account 314 Punk, where you post about punk bands and shows in the St. Louis area. What inspired you to take up that cause?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I started releasing songs in 2021, I was getting some national and international attention in the punk scene in general from places like Punk News, New Noise, some of these other publications. But there wasn't really anything in St. Louis that was promoting punk music in general. You know, there wasn't a centralized source for punk music in St. Louis. So I was thinking, and I thought, I was going on these really long walks during when everything was shut down during COVID.
Sure.
And I thought, man, wouldn't it be really cool if there was an Instagram account or something that like we could just share all the shows that are happening in St. Louis? We could share releases. And I thought there used to be this thing in St. Louis called STL Punk years and years ago in the early 2000s. It probably got shut down in like 2006 or 7. And I thought maybe something like that, but updated. It needs to be on Instagram. It needs to be maybe have a podcast. I was doing a podcast for a while with that. And I thought if I'm a musician in St. Louis and I want this, then I bet all the other musicians in St. Louis want something like this too. So, you know, I kind of talked it out on a voice memo. That's something that I do is I take long walks and I talk into my AirPods and record it on a voice memo. And I sent that memo to my friend and he was like, this is a phenomenal idea. You should do it. And so now that's blossomed. At first, we were just posting about shows and bands on Instagram. And now we just released a compilation CD of 18 bands called 314 Punk Tough Scene, Tough City, Volume 1. We're doing t-shirts where that have the 314 Punk different designs. We have one that has the arch and the creepy crawl, the old creepy crawl, and it's got some St. Louis style pizza on it and a skateboarder and everything. So now that's kind of morphed into I book shows here in St. Louis for bands that are coming into town. I just recently started a booking agency with my friend Olive from a band called Young Animals, and we're booking shows for St. Louis bands or bands from anywhere all throughout the Midwest. Mm. So
how do you characterize St. Louis's punk scene?
I definitely feel like we're on an upswing right now. I feel like I haven't always been super as involved as I am now, but I feel like 5 years ago, right before COVID, it was kind of not as thriving as it is now. And right now we have so many good bands of so many different genres. And I would like to see more people coming out to the shows. That would be my only thing. But there's really good music, and if you look for it, you could find your new favorite band. But yeah, definitely right now we're on a huge upswing, and I think things are really thriving in the St. Louis punk scene right now.
Wes Hoffman is the lead singer of Wes Hoffman and Friends, a pop punk band from St. Louis. The album released this past February is How It Should Be. And you also have a concert in St. Louis coming up on November 22nd at Red Flag. That's in Midtown on Locust.
Yes.
Wes Hoffman, it was great to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for having me. This was a pleasure.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.